Maybe if Denise needs it.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our second scripture reading and our sermon this morning comes from Matthew, chapters 5 through 7, known as the Sermon on the Mount. For Matthew, Jesus is a kind of new Moses, and like the original Moses, delivers life-giving teaching from a mountainside. Just as the Torah begins with the divine blessings of creation and exodus from enslavement, Jesus begins with a surprising, counterintuitive map of divine blessing in everyday life. To borrow a formulation Jesus uses later in the sermon, it's as if he says, "You have heard it said, blessed are the rich, happy, strong, satisfied, ruthless, deceptive, aggressive, safe, and well-liked. But I say to you, blessed are the poor, mourning, gentle, hungry, merciful, pure in heart, peacemaking, persecuted, and reviled for righteousness' sake. Rejoice and be glad, for the reign of heaven is and will be yours." First and foremost, these are words of consolation and encouragement. Good news for the poor, mourning, gentle, and so on, so many of whom are among those initial crowds, and so many of whom, too, are among Matthew's readers, then and now. But these are also words of declaration for all to hear, announcing the fact that the dawning reign of heaven involves an overturning of the world's hierarchies of status and privilege. Some of the very ones conventionally considered cursed or foolish are actually the ones who are truly blessed, the ones who, in the dawning era of Jubilee, will be redeemed and restored. The rich, strong, satisfied, and so on are invited to repent, to celebrate God's world-turning salvation, and to join the movement following Jesus, building lives of doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with God. We read this sermon on All Saints' Day, or All Saints Observed, with the hope that it will help us to recall those who have gone before us in faith, who have modeled for us the ways to live lives of justice, kindness, and walking humbly. So let us listen now for God's word to us in this reading of the Sermon on the Mount. "Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up a mountain. He sat down, and his disciples came to him. He taught them, saying,
'Happy are people who are hopeless, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are the people who grieve, because they will be made glad. Happy are people who are humble, because they will inherit the earth. Happy are people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, because they will be fed until they are full. Happy are people who show mercy, because they will receive mercy. Happy are people who have pure hearts, because they will see God. Happy are people who make peace, because they will be called God's children. Happy are people whose lives are harassed because they are righteous, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are you when people insult you and harass you and speak all kinds of bad and false things about you, all because of me. Be full of joy and be glad, because you have a great reward in heaven. In the same way, people harassed the prophets who came before you.
You
are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how will it become salty again? It's good for nothing except to be thrown away and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on top of a lampstand, and it shines on all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people, so they can see the good things you do and praise your Father who is in heaven.
Don't even begin to think that I have come to do away with the law and the prophets. I haven't come to do away with them, but to fulfill them. I say to you, very seriously, that as long as heaven and earth exist, neither the smallest letter nor even the smallest stroke of a pen will be erased from the law until everything there becomes reality. Therefore, whoever ignores one of the least of these commands and teaches others to do the same will be called the lowest in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps these commands and teaches people to keep with them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I say to you that unless your righteousness is greater than the righteousness of the legal experts and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.
You have heard that it was said to those who lived long ago, "Don't commit murder," and all who commit murder will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with their brother or sister will be in danger of judgment. If they say to their brother or sister, "You idiot," they will be in danger of being condemned by the governing council. And if they say, "You fool," they will be in danger of fiery hell. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift at the altar and go. First, make things right with your brother or sister, and then come back and offer your gift. Be sure to make friends quickly with your opponents while you are with them on the way to court. Otherwise, they will haul you before the judge. The judge will turn you over to the officer of the court, and you will be thrown into prison. I say to you in all seriousness that you won't get out of there until you've paid the very last penny.
You have heard that it was said, "Don't commit adultery." But I say to you that every man who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in his heart. And if your right eye causes you to fall into sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better that you lose a part of your body than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to fall into sin, chop it off and throw it away. It's better that you lose a part of your body than that your whole body go into hell. It was said, "Whoever divorces his wife must give her a divorce certificate." But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual unfaithfulness, forces her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery.
Again, you have heard that it was said to those who lived long ago, "Don't make a false solemn pledge, but you should follow through on what you have pledged to the Lord." But I say to you that you must not pledge at all. You must not pledge by heaven, because it's God's throne. You must not pledge by the earth, because it is God's footstool. You must not pledge by Jerusalem, because it's the city of the great King. And you must not pledge by your head, because you can't turn one hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one.
You have heard that it was said, "An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth." But I say to you that you must not oppose those who want to hurt you. If people slap you on your right cheek, you must turn the left cheek to them as well. When they wish to haul you to court and take your shirt, let them have your coat too. When they force you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Give to those who ask, and don't refuse those who wish to borrow from you.
You have heard that it was said, you must love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who harass you so that you will be acting as children of your Father who is in heaven. He makes the sun rise on both the evil and the good and sends rain on both the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, just as your heavenly Father is complete in showing love to everyone, so also you must be complete.
Be careful that you don't practice your religion in front of people to draw their attention. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Whenever you give to the poor, don't blow your trumpet as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may get praise from people. I assure you, that's the only reward they will get. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that you may give to the poor in secret. Your Father, who sees what you do in secret, will reward you.
When you pray, don't be like hypocrites. They love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on street corners so that people will see them. I assure you, that's the only reward they'll get. But when you pray, go to your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't pour out a flood of empty words as the Gentiles do. They think that by saying many words, they'll be heard. Don't be like them, because your Father knows what you need before you ask. Pray like this. Our Father who is in heaven, uphold the holiness of your name. Bring in your kingdom so that your will is done on earth as it's done in heaven. Give us the bread we need for today. Forgive us for the ways we have wronged you, just as we also forgive those who have wronged us. And don't lead us into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your sins.
And when you fast, don't put on a sad face like the hypocrites. They distort their faces so people will know that they are fasting. I assure you that they have their reward. When you fast, brush your hair and wash your face. Then you won't look like you are fasting to people, but only to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. Stop collecting treasures for your own benefit on earth, where moth and rust eat them, and where thieves break in and steal them. Instead, collect treasures for yourselves in heaven, where moth and rust don't eat them, and where thieves don't break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
The eye is the lamp of the body. Therefore, if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how terrible that darkness will be. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be loyal to the one and have contempt for the other. You cannot serve God and wealth.
Therefore, I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't sow seed or harvest grain or gather crops into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth so much more than they are? Who among you, by worrying, can add a single moment to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? Notice how the lilies in the field grow. They don't wear themselves out with work, and they don't spin cloth. But I say to you that even Solomon in all of his splendor wasn't dressed like one of these. If God dresses grass in the field so beautifully, even though it's alive today and tomorrow it's thrown into the furnace, won't God do much more for you, you people of weak faith? Therefore, don't worry and say, what are we going to eat, or what are we going to drink, or what are we going to wear? Gentiles long for all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Instead, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, stop worrying about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Don't judge so that you won't be judged. You'll receive the same judgment you give. Whatever you deal out will be dealt out to you. Why do you see the splinter that is in your brother's or sister's eye, but don't notice the log in your own eye? How can you say to your brother or sister, let me take the splinter out of your eye, when there's a log in your eye? You deceive yourself. First, take the log out of your eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's or sister's eye. Don't give holy things to dogs, and don't throw your pearls in front of pigs. They will stomp on the pearls, then turn around and attack you.
Ask, and you will receive. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door is opened. Who among you will give your children a stone when they ask for bread? Or give them a snake when they ask for fish? If you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, you should treat people in the same way that you want people to treat you. This is the law and the prophets.
Go in through the narrow gate. The gate that leads to destruction is broad and the road wide, so many people enter through it. But the gate that leads to life is narrow and the road difficult, so few people find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you dressed like sheep, but inside they are vicious wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do people get bunches of grapes from thorny weeds, or do they get figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, and every rotten tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a rotten tree can't produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, you will know them by their fruit. Not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will get into the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. on the judgment day, many people will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and expel demons in your name and do lots of miracles in your name? Then I'll tell them, I've never known you. Get away from me, you people who do wrong.
Everybody who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise builder who built a house on bedrock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house. It didn't fall because it was firmly set on bedrock. But everybody who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice will be like a fool who built a house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house. It fell and was completely destroyed.
When Jesus finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he was teaching them like someone with authority and not like their legal experts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand in body or in spirit as we profess our faith using these words from Romans 8. We believe there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to God's purpose. We are convinced that neither death,
nor life, nor angels, nor rulers,
nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
You may be seated. It is by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we come before God in prayer for one another and for the world. We lift up especially today and remember those in our community of faith who have entered the church triumphant over this past year. In particular, listed in your bulletin, Norman Durham, Daniel Grishkowski, Polly Harrison, Annette Preston, and Betty Todd. We give thanks for their lives among us and remember them today. And I know that you all have names on your hearts and your minds of those saints in your life who you remember this day as we turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, who taught us to pray not only for ourselves but for people everywhere, hear us as we pray for others in the name of Jesus Christ. Comfort and relieve, O Lord, all who are in trouble, sorrow, poverty, sickness, and grief, especially those known to us, whom we name before you in silence. Heal them in body, mind, or circumstance, working in them by your grace wonders beyond all they may dream or hope. Bring to our remembrance all those who, having served you on earth, now sing your praises eternally. Especially today, we remember those from our community of faith who have gone before us: Norman Durham, Daniel Grishkowski, Polly Harrison, Annette Preston, and Betty Todd. May their endurance give us courage and their faithfulness give us hope. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. If you are feeling a call upon your life, if you have a question about faith, about how to get involved in this community of faith, I invite you to visit with me or with our liturgist today, Elder Belinda Bruner, following the service. Let us now continue to worship God as we give of ourselves, our tithes, and our offerings. You will find this morning offering plates at the front and at the rear of the sanctuary, as well as instructions in your bulletin for how to give online. Let us worship God.